This is the 4-Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. We're taking it back to the roots, getting dirty and covering all things off-road, because pavement, well, that's for It's gloves off, in your face, on the edge, and the way off-road should be. We're your definitive source for all things dirt.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in-store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Welcome to the 4-Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here with another weekly dose of all things off-road. And you know what? We got events coming up. We've got Vegas to Reno. I guess that's the next big desert race. But, you know, on the short course side of things, we've got Bark River there in the Midwest. We've also got Reno coming up. So lots of short course action. But the big news coming out of the world of off-road this past week was the 2019 Off-Road Hall of Fame class that's getting inducted into the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame. And I am very, very excited today to have one of the members, one of the guys going into the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame, my good friend Ryan Arciero's dad, Butch Arciero, also known as Frank Arciero Jr., but always went by Butch, one of the most accomplished off-road drivers in history, one of the winningest Mickey Thompson Stadium Series drivers. Here's a guy who's won at Riverside, where he raced for Factory Toyota PPI, Class 1 cars, trucks, desert, Baja, you name it. Butch Arciero has won it, and I'm very, very excited to have him on the show this week, talking just old off-road stories. And you know me, man, I am a off-road nostalgia guy. I like anything anything off-road, you know, history, man. I think that's one thing that, you know, I think this new generation of off-road fans, probably a lot of the people listening to this show, you know, I don't think they really know the roots of the sport. And I think that's one thing that I love sharing, because I grew up, you know, born in 1980, grew up through, you know, that amazing 80s era of factory warfare and off-road. And I love being able to share these stories and to get a guy like Butch Arciero Jr. on the show. Also, going into the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame, I mean, some legends, Bobby Farah. Here's one of the OGs, one of the, you know, first winners in Baja. I mean, this guy, Bobby Farrow, is, you know, he was legend status, still is, you know, for a long, long time. You got Len Chenoweth, who, you know, obviously, you know, Chenoweth Buggies, you know, talking about, you know, Butch Arciero, he won in a Chenoweth. You know, some of his victories came in a Chenoweth car there when he teamed with Bob Gordon. So, you know, Len Chenoweth, obviously, you know, very well deserving going in. Steve Morris, here's a guy who the name might not ring a bell to a lot of you. He was working, you know, on the advocacy side to help keep, you know, the deserts and, you know, things open and land so we could go and use them. We've got Robbie Gordon. You know, do we even really need to introduce Robbie Gordon as an Off-Road Hall of Fame inductee? No, like, definitely well deserving. And one I'm really stoked on, my good friend David Higgins, who is going into the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame on the rally side of things. So, yeah, you know, and obviously, induction ceremony is being presented this year by 4-Wheel Parts. So very excited about that. You know, title sponsor of this show, presenting sponsor of, you know, the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame induction ceremony coming this November. Ties in with SEMA Week. It's kind of kicking things off there Sunday night. So definitely looking forward to the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Butch Arciero, Lynn Chenoweth, Bobby Farrow, Robbie Gordon, David Higgins, Steve Morris, they're all going to be there getting inducted. I will be there, that is for sure. Never miss that. It is one of my favorite nights of the year. It's where you actually get to see all these off-road guys in a suit and tie and dressed up, right? You know, that never happens except once a year. That's at the Off-Road Hall of Fame. So definitely go to their website, check it out, get your tickets. You know, it's one of those things where, man, last year they sold out quick. I think with this class going in this year, it's definitely going to be quick as well again. So Check them out at ormhof.org. That's ormhof.org. And you can get your tickets and check out all the candidates or all the people, I guess, nominees going in this year. I don't know. What do you call it? Nominees, not candidates. They were candidates. Then they were nominees. Now they're inductees. I guess I need to get my verbiage correct here. But, yeah. But my guest this week, it is definitely going to be Butch Arciero. It's kind of funny because we did that amazing interview with Ryan Arciero a couple of months back. Everybody has said, like, literally that was some of their favorite interview, one of the favorite interviews they've ever listened to that I've done. Now we've got his dad like a couple of months later, so things going full circle here. So make sure if you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, Down and Dirty Show. You're going to get my national show and this show. So make sure and hit that subscribe button over there on iTunes. Check us out on the web, downanddirtyshow.com. Follow me, it's at JimBeaver15 on social media. And we are going to take a short commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to roll right into this epic interview with Frank Arciero Jr., a.k.a. Butch Arciero.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris RZR brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris RZR because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris RZR because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team RZR because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris RZR because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris RZR because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRZR.com or follow at Polaris RZR on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RZRLife to share your story.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere as possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like to welcome one of my guests this week, a guy who is getting inducted into the 2019 Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame class, Frank Arciero Jr., also known as Butch by many in the off-road community. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Ryan and I have been friends for years now, and I've interviewed Ryan, I don't know, countless times, and I always get all these stories about you, but it's kind of funny to come full circle now and actually have you on the show instead of Ryan. So really looking forward to today, man.
Oh, thank you. So am I. I know he's, I always tease him about him knowing more people than I did. And I said, you know what? I don't think so, Ryan. I think I know more people than you do now.
Yeah.
But he starts laughing. No, he's a great kid. He does a great job, and I love them all. I mean, my whole family, they're all great people.
Yeah. Well, you know, how was that when he made the call to you? Because did you know about the nomination, or how was the call when he called you and said, hey, Dad, you're getting in?
No, I didn't know it at all. I swear. I was up in Paso Robles. We have businesses up there, so I go up there every other week, and I'm sitting there, and the phone rings. So I'm talking to, you know, first, it's not him. He's on the phone with our daughter, Jacqueline, his sister, and it's weird. He's kind of talking weird, and I'm saying, who is it? I was ready to hang up because I thought it was somebody who was just playing a joke on me. And so they start talking and Ryan, and then all of a sudden I realize it's Ryan, and then he starts in about talking about racing and talking about you know, back in the old days, and said something, and I go, yeah. He says, I'm not bragging, but you know, we were pretty, you know, me and Bob, when we teamed up together, and when I did the Toyota program, I says, you know, we were pretty fast. I said, you know, we had a lot of people looking at us, and he starts laughing and laughing. I mean, what are you laughing at? he wouldn't stop laughing. And I said, finally, I said, what's going on? I said, what's going on? He said, well, he said, I want to congratulate you. You've been inducted into the Hall of Fame. I said, oh, you little shit. I said, well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, that
but,
is too
yeah, it was
funny.
It was funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, kind of take me back, you know, because I know a lot of people, obviously, they, you know, I guess kind of some of this generation of off-road fans maybe know Ryan more than you, but kind of take us back to the beginning and how you got your start in off-road. I mean, I know the family has had involvements in IndyCar and things like that, but you got your start on two wheels before you actually moved to four, right?
Yes, I did. I started a good friend of ours, one of my best friends. In fact, he ended up being my hunting partner, Johnny Sands. Him and his brother went out and used to race the DRA and the District 37 races. And he called me and said, "Hey, Butch, why don't you and Albert come on out and we'll you know, see us?" So we went out to one of the races and we liked it. So we went out and bought a bike. And just started racing. I mean, it was a fun deal. Great people. A lot of the guys raced in the score races in the bike classes. And but we raced, you know, mainly we had a lot of properties out in Cal City. We alfalfa farmers, and most of the races were in the Cal City area. You know, Cal City in Randsburg area. And so me and Albert just, you know, I think his first bike, he bought an old Ducati, and I had a Yamaha, I think, and it was an experience. I mean, it was an experience, like, you know, just, you know, doing it and going out and just understanding, you know, how to really, you know, ride a bike and how to really finish a race to be able to try and win a race, you know. And we had a great time. We had a really great time. It was a great experience for me because I learned a lot riding the bike, and I transferred that into my car years when I was driving the cars and trucks.
Yeah, well, and there was a big time period there where bikes were so much faster than cars and trucks. It was like the bike guys, when they transitioned into cars and trucks, I mean, reading the terrain, you were doing it so much faster on a bike that when you transitioned into cars and trucks, it was almost like you were going slower.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. And then you just needed to know, you know, on a bike, I mean, you got two wheels, and on a car you got four wheels, but still, you in your mind you think the car is going to go faster on some of the terrain, and it really isn't, especially the tight stuff. And that's where the bikes really came into play. You know, they were so much nicer, and it was really nice for me because it taught me how to go into a turn and take the berm and use the berm as the turn. Whereas when I started with the cars, you know, I didn't really do that. I thought you just drive into a turn, okay? And so after learning and, you know, to go out and practice in races with a car, I started saying, you know, wait a minute, you know, I did it with the bike. I should try it with the car and, you know, get up on the berms and get the car set up there and, you know, come back out of the turn. It was a great experience. I mean, I learned a lot from the bike days.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and you transitioned into, you know, into buggies and things like that. I mean, kind of take us through that, because early years, I mean, you won a lot of races. I mean, how, you know, obviously there was that transition there, and, you know, how was it transitioning into the buggy? I mean, what was the biggest thing you kind of had to relearn about, you know, the way you were doing things?
I think the biggest thing for me was once we started racing cars, it was trying to accept and understand what the car is going to do, especially in the bumps and the whoop-de-doos where you can really roll a car. And once I understood that and understood that the suspension on the bike is one thing, especially on a car, you know, you got four wheels now and you got a little more travel. And so I just had to learn how to do that. And once I learned how to do that, it was like night and day. I mean, I remember our first race in a car. We had an old car. It was like a homemade car that we bought from a friend of ours. And we raced the 78 Mint, the year that Parnelli won the Mint. And then we raced it one more time and got rid of it. And then we bought a Funko and started racing the Funkos. And I remember my first race in the Funko was at Parker. And Albert did the California side and I was doing the Arizona side. And I remember getting in the car at Blue Water Marina and taking off and getting through the marina area and back into a wash and start going out in the racetrack. And all of a sudden I look to my right and I see this car go by me about, 50 miles an hour faster. And I'm going, oh my Lord, who was that? And it was Malcolm, either Malcolm or Bud Fellkamp. And I go, Jesus, if I'm going to compete with these guys, I need to figure out what they're doing that I'm not doing, And you start going faster and faster and faster. It took us about 3 or 4 races to really figure out the car, the suspension, and what it would do for you and what it's not going to do for you. And then we started winning races. I mean, when you win races, then you get support from BFG and all the suppliers that supply stuff. And it was just like, you got to win your first race before you understand, how it's not easy, but how much more easier it is to win. That first one is the big one.
Yeah. Well, and kind of take us, because there was a point there where you went in a lot of races in Class 1. And I know one thing I really loved about that era of off-road, now there's social media and there's media and there's this and there's Facebook. And there's so much that goes into sponsorship and who gets rides and who gets sponsors. But I feel like back there it was more of a pure, the pure drivers actually got those factory deals. And I mean, I know you linked up with Toyota, and it was just strictly because your results on the track. I mean, they wanted you on the team, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I mean, thank God, with us, it was in a family, my mom and dad and my brother. I mean, I give a lot of credit to my brother, for getting me to the next step in off-road racing. I mean, he knew how to set cars up and stuff like that. And everybody calls him pretty, I'm sure you've heard everyone call Albert pretty wild, but, he really taught me to learn the suspension part of the car. And then again, you're right in starting to win races. You had people starting looking at you and we won a lot of races, in the buggies. And then I got a call from Cal Wells from PPI and asked me if I wanted to team up with Ivan in the desert. And so we had a Class 1 and a Class 2 car, a truck, I should say. And I said, yeah, I'd love to. And, so we took that and went out and tested a lot. I mean, that just, it opens the doors once you start winning races and again, I guess what I was first starting to say is the family. If it wasn't for the family helping support what we were doing, we wouldn't be doing it. Okay, so it's you get that, and then pretty soon, you get with the tire manufacturers coming in and Chevy coming in and Toyota coming in, and then now it's starting to become a big deal. And now you're hoping that you can hook up with somebody or at least get some of the sponsorship to keep your program going. And I was fortunate enough to, I won a lot of races, had a lot of people looking at me, and Cal asked me to drive, and that would turn out to be a blessing in disguise. I mean, it was, I brought Toyota their first unlimited win I think it was the 86 or 88 Baja 500. First time a Toyota car has won an unlimited class. Yeah. So, but that was cool.
Yeah. Well, and there was a period there. I mean, you and Ivan, and then I think Millen came in at some point. But I mean, there was a period there where, I mean, you guys were basically growing Toyota into what it is today. I mean, Toyota's investment there, and I think people forget, like in the early 80s and things like that. I mean, still, they were very new in the United States, and people, it really hadn't got a foothold yet in the whole, Toyota brand. And I think, what you guys were doing, it was directly related to the sales that were happening the following week.
Oh, I concur with you 100%. I concur with you. It's like they say in the stock cars, whoever wins on Sunday sells the cars on Monday. But yes, bringing Toyota into the program, I mean, Cal did a great job. And it's, again, Jim, it's not one individual. I'm a real proponent to say, you know, if it wasn't for the people prepping my car and prepping it properly, I wouldn't have won as many races as I won, okay, or finished as many races as I finished. I mean, you need the whole support group, and I was fortunate enough from our own program into the Toyota program that we had that support group. And another thing, and I have two people that were so close to me that and were influential. Actually, three. My brother was one. The other one was Bob Gordon, who was my teammate for years, and we all know what Bob did. And then the other one is Ivan Stewart. I mean, Ivan, I think, is probably the greatest off-road racer ever. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, just look at his record, look at what he did, and just learning from him. I mean, we must have put on, 100,000 pre-run miles over the course of the years that I raced with him. And even after they decided just to run one truck, and me and Bob teamed up, I still had the ability, and Cal let me have the ability to pre-run with Ivan, and just learning, you know, just learning from him, and in him and what he's done for Toyota. I mean, it's, you know, you're right. It's just it was a turning point, I think, in off-road racing. It brought a lot more people in, and it got off-road racing from a mom and pop program to where it is now.
Yeah, well, you know, and you mentioned Bob Gordon there, and I want to talk about that for a second because, you know, as much as you did with PPI and Cal Wells and people remember you for kind of that era, I mean, there was this whole era where, the Gordon / RC Aero buggy, I mean, that is as iconic, that paint scheme, the livery, the names on the car, I mean, that's as iconic as anything that I can remember, you know, from that era of off-road. I feel like, you know, there was a couple of parts to your career, you know, and it's like one doesn't outweigh the other. It's like they all kind of combine into where we're at today, you know?
No, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you. I mean, it's the relationship with Bob. I mean, when he called me and asked me after I left the Toyota program, I was trying to figure out. You know, I had a friend of mine, Bob Renz, who had a race go that I asked if I can race it, and then I'd prep it and all that stuff for him. And then I raced out a couple races and did real well. And then Bob was wanting to have another teammate. Him and Tim Crabtree were teamed up for a long time, and Bob called me, and I says, "Hell, I'd love to race with you." And we, I mean, not only from the desert, Jim, but into the stadium stuff. I mean, we sat and we talked a lot about, you know, the cars and everything else, and we're the first ones. I mean, I think mine, Ryan might have even told you this, but I think we're the first ones that ever developed the bypass shocks, and we took those into the stadiums, and then Bob built those hand-built bypass shocks for the two-seater that we had. Not the one we're racing now in Nora, but three generations prior to that one. And that was a state-of-the-art thing. And Bob, I mean, not only being a great race driver and a great guy in the desert, he was an innovator, and he knew, you know, he knew how to handle it. He knew how to set up a car, and I tell you what, it was a blessing in disguise. I mean, I had a great time with him, and I miss him sorely. And I mean, you know, you go back and you look, and Robbie, his son, you know, coming up through the ranks and doing the same thing, and he's another inductee. I was proud to say that I was part of Robbie's first professional win when we won the Frontier 500. And we finished first overall, and Bob had a new car, and he finished actually second overall, and we beat him by 45 minutes. But it was, I fast forward, I think it's like 10 or 11 years, and I couldn't go down to the 1,000 one year, and so I told Bob, I said, my son Ryan he'll do a good job for you. And so Ryan got in the car, and lo and behold, Ryan's first ever professional win is with Bob Gordon. Yeah. I mean, Ryan, it's just Ryan, it's weird, man. Yeah. I tell you, life is weird.
Ryan tells that story, and he says he was completely scared out of his mind racing with Bob Gordon. He was so nervous he was going to screw something up.
No, I know, exactly. And I told him, I said, Ryan, I said, just all you got to do, Ryan, is not make any mistakes, and you don't need to go fast. You just need to give the car to Bob and Ignacio, and you give the Bob the car and Ignacio, and you're in the top five. You guys are going to win. You guys are going to either win or you're going to be close to winning the race. And lo and behold, they won it.
Well, you know, going back, talking about, you know, the stadium era and the whole Mickey Thompson series and things like that, you know, and I don't think people now, you know, that are coming into off-road, I was fortunate enough to, you know, my dad raced at Riverside and then being able to go to the Mickey Thompson things and stuff like that. Like, I don't think people in off-road now can grasp the magnitude of those events. I mean, Riverside and what was happening with Mickey Thompson and filling stadiums, you know, and things like that. I mean, I think the only thing close we have now might be Crandon on Labor Day weekend. But, I mean, there was something special going on in that era with you know, with Riverside and then the whole Mickey Thompson Stadium series. I mean, how was that to be a part of that? I mean, that had to have been really special, selling out stadiums and racing in front of crowds like that.
Oh, it was outstanding. I mean, it was an experience, I'll tell you that for sure. And when Mickey started, I mean, he started at the Pomona Fairgrounds and doing some small stuff there, and then just, you know, taking that concept and bringing it to a closed arena where you have captured audience. You know, in the desert is one thing. You know, you see a car go by, and then an hour later, you go down and you see them again. In the stadium stuff, I mean, I was proud to say that was part of the upbringing of what was going on in the stadium. You know, me and my brother and Bob and the team that we put together, and it was. I mean, you know, you go out there. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the races at the Anaheim Stadium. I mean, I think if you look at the top 10 events ever at Anaheim Stadium, I think the off-road Mickey Thompson years was like the third or the fourth of most attendance. And even when we did the racing, you know, they had to take out a lot of seats because you couldn't take the cars, you know, unfortunately if something happened to get into the seats. So the first 10 or 12 rows that are very real near the racetrack were all empty. And, but it was an experience. I mean, Crandon had their thing back then, and it was, you know, historic to go back there. But then Riverside, when they put Riverside together, was historic to go out here. I mean, everybody from all over the country came out here, from all over the world. We had people from Germany and from France coming over and racing against us. And it was great, I tell you, man. And we had a lot of good luck. I mean, we won two championships with Mickey Thompson. And, you know, I think I'm first or second on the all-time winning list. And Riverside, I mean, during the first part of Riverside, you know, we battled to try and win, and we always had some issues and stuff, but towards the latter, like the last five or six years, hell, I think we won five or seven races between the Class 10, Class 1, and the Class 4 truck when Joe McPherson asked me to drive the Class 4 truck, the Chevy four-wheel drive truck.
Wow. Well, how is it you now? I mean, you know, going back and still continuing to do Nora and things like that. I mean, you know, you have accomplished all this in your career. I mean, you know, how is it, you know, to go and actually run Nora now and still be behind the wheel and stuff like that? Does it energize you as much as it did in the past?
Oh, it does, Jim. I mean, it's like everybody says the same thing. You tell everybody, hey, listen, whoever's driving, Ryan, you know, just relax, take your time. You get in the car. Once you put that helmet on, it's like there's another person sitting there, okay? It's somebody else from the past coming in and saying, okay, we got to go faster, you know? But it was enjoyable. When Bob asked me to do it in 2010 and bring the car back out of retirement, the reason it was so enjoyable for me is, unfortunately, during my years, I brought Ryan to a lot of races. My other son, Robbie, and our daughter, they'd all go to the off-road, to the desert stuff, and also to the stadium stuff. And Ryan rode me one year in the Fireworks 250 in one of Bob's cars. And that was it. I didn't get a chance to really spin and race with Ryan, which I really deep down inside wanted to. And so when Nora came by and resurrected this type of racing, it gave me a chance to really be a teammate of my son and to win. I mean, we won, I think, seven out of the 10 classes and twice overall. And it was and plus the fact, Jim, I know, you know, when you go see these people, you don't, once you get out and you stop racing, you kind of go by the way. So, you know, you do your own thing. You've got your family and you got other business and, you know, that you're doing and stuff. But here you go to these races and it brings back all the guys that were there, the guys that you raced against, the guys you loved to talk about, you know, the great guys that raced and you stop every, you know, it's a 4-day event, you know, so you don't have to, it's not a point to point. And you have a chance the first day you stop in San Felipe, and you BS, you know, you have dinner together and all that stuff, and you talk about how fast you are and how slow they are, or how fast they are, how slow you are, and then you go to the next day and the next day and the next day, and you know, until you get to the finish, and it's cool. It's one of the greatest events that I've ever raced in, and I wish that SCORE would do something similar instead of having the 500 is one thing, but you do the 1,000, you know. And you go all the way down to Cabo, and you get your, you know, your pit guys and everything else. They're up, you know, 18, 19, 20 hours sometimes, yeah, maybe longer than that. And you fear for them because, you know, you get an accident can happen or something like that. Here, you have every day, you have, you know, they can do it maybe 3 days instead of five or four, and regroup, okay? And the event is outstanding. I'm glad they did it. Now they're doing one in we're talking about maybe doing the one in Ensenada, the Baja 500, and I think it's in October.
Yeah, the Nora 500, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a great event, and I'm glad he resurrected. And like I said, it brought me back with my son to be able to race with him, and also with Bob, you know, before his passing.
Yeah. Well, what's your take on the sport now? You know, because obviously you see Ryan, he's still out there competitively racing and, you know, doing really, really well. And, you know, he's in these state-of-the-art trucks. Obviously, I've talked with Ryan. He had that, you know, he had that Volkswagen program that I don't think people realized how advanced what they were doing actually was. I think it was so far advanced, it just monetarily didn't make sense anymore. But, you know, how is it for you to see where the sport's come? Because you were there in the era that really lent its way to where we're at now, you know. And what's your take on the current trophy trucks and things like that, and where the sport's actually sitting now?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I can give you a simile, if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah.
That in IndyCar racing, okay, my dad was one of the founders of CART when they broke away from USAC, okay, and back then, yeah, you had some involvement with some manufacturers, but not big involvement. I mean, most of the guys were privateers, okay. And they were competitive, and they, you know, we had some good racing. We finished third at Indy one year, you know, with just, you know, a small budget, you know, and the same with off-road racing. You started out and it was the same thing, and there's a good and a bad to it, I think. And, you know, the good is you see the sport blossoming, and really, you know, people now recognize off-road racing around the whole world. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't care if you get a Formula One guy, you get a stock car guy, you get an Indy guy, I don't care who it is, to come out and compete against off-road guys, it's going to be very difficult for those guys to finish, not finish, but to do good, okay? It's so demanding, so much more than anything else. And now, you know, you start getting these manufacturers back involved, you know, and now these, you know, so now the programs, you got trophy trucks, and I can't believe there's 40 or 50 trophy trucks. You know, to build one of those trucks is $750,000, you know, and then you have to have your support and you have to have everything else. So I'm just hoping that doesn't take the sport down where people are not going to be able to afford it here in the near future. But just to see where it came from nothing, from the dust, from just small, you know, small fields. You know, I remember, what, in the 80s, we had, what, 420 people at Parker. You had 400 or something, or 500 cars in the 500. You know, it's unbelievable. And I'm just hoping, like I say, I'm just hoping that all that, the big dollar stuff, I mean, those guys, I tell you what, man, they have to do what they're doing. You know, I always tease Ryan in regards to saying, you know, they go out and pre-run all, you know, we pre-ran a lot too, okay? But I tell him, I said, you know, the only difference between your pre-run and our pre-running is you're in a little faster vehicle, but more importantly, we just had to remember where we were going in our minds. You have all this GPS stuff. You plot this turn, you plot that bump, and I can understand why you have to do that, because you're going so much faster than what we were going. But, I mean, the technology and now is, I mean, it's just blossoming, and just, it's unbelievable what they're doing. And I'm proud of him. I mean, he's done a great job. He's had a couple bad races, but I mean, all in all, he's always in contention to win a race.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, you know, and I've always, you know, talked with Ryan. I mean, he's a guy that it's been interesting to see how he's carved out his niche and, you know, and always been able to find sponsors. And he's one of the very few that have actually gone and done Dakar. And, you know, I think his career is just, it's remarkable. And like you said, every time he gets behind the wheel, I mean, you know, you got a list of 5 to 7 guys who, you know, can take a victory. Ryan's always on that list, you know, and I think, you know, and that's like you'd said, with 50 drivers in the class, that's not easy to make that list, you know?
No, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. And it took me a long time to get in the top 20 list. but it's just a lot of hard work and dedication, and that's what it is. And he's I tell you what, he is extremely dedicated on what he's doing and trying to do good for his sponsor as well as his team owner and everybody. I mean, he does a great job. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah. Well, Frank, I appreciate you taking the time to call into the show today. Much appreciated. Congratulations once again on being inducted into the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame. And, you know, I guess we will see you in November in Las Vegas, it sounds like.
You're on, Jim. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling me and asking me to be on. And it is an honor. I tell you what, those guys are on that list or deserve to be there. And I'm just honored to be associated with all of those fabulous guys, both racing, not even racing and all the other people that have been inducted for other improvements they've done for the off-road racing world.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's one thing, you know, and this is where we digress here a little bit, but I think that's one thing special about off-road and the Hall of Fame, because they can honor guys like you and Ivan Stewart and Walker Evans who have accomplished things on the track, but at the same point, you know, there's guys like, you know, well, Sal Fish, for instance, or guys that have done advocates and helped keep our deserts open, you know, and they can go into the Hall of Fame for what they've provided the sport. And I think that's one thing that's special, you know, it's not one thing outweighs the other, you know, it's a place for everybody who has helped, you know, build the sport to where it's at today.
You're exactly right, because without those people we wouldn't have had a venue to race in. Yeah. You know, I agree with you 100%. 100%.
Well, I appreciate the time, Frank. Thanks for calling into the show, and you know, congratulations once again.
Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate it. I'll see you up there.
Go check out MyMedic.com for the best first aid kits on the planet and save 15% with discount code JimBeaver. Again, MyMedic.com, discount code JimBeaver, and save 15%. It's cheaper than a funeral.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports. The sound of the racetrack. And the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15%. Discount.
All right, welcome back here to the 4 Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Big thanks to Butch Arciero for calling into the show, and big congrats on him to him and all the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame class of 2019. Such an amazing class, and definitely stoked to be there come November. Guys, definitely, once again, ormhoff.org. You can get your tickets and all the details on everybody going in. But, yeah, thank you guys for tuning into the show. Thanks for hanging with me and hanging out here. And make sure and go over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, rate, review. If you leave a rating or review, leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the review. When I see it, I will follow you back on social media. Speaking of social media, I'm at JimBeaver15. If you want to give me a follow, I may follow you back there. You know, as well, check us out, downanddirtyshow.com. And we're pumping out all kinds of content weekly. Big thanks to our partners there at Four Wheel Parts for title sponsoring this show. Make sure you need dialed in, locked in for all your off-road and performance needs. Check them out, Four Wheel Parts. Polaris Razor, General Tire, My Medic. Don't forget to use the coupon code Jim Beaver. That'll get you 15% off at My Medic with the best damn first aid kits on the planet. Vision Wheel, Gibson Exhaust, Dirtfish. Use the coupon code JBDirtfish. That'll get you 15% off at Dirtfish Rally School. And Super ATV for coming on board. Big shout out to my friends there at Super ATV. Stoked to have them. Impact Racing. Impact always keeping us locked and loaded here with the best best damn safety equipment in the world. And thank you guys for tuning in. And we've got a lot coming up here, a lot of events to be at, and hopefully you guys are along for the ride. I guess we're going to sign off this week instead of me continuing to ramble on, but we'll be back next week with more Four Wheel Parts Off-Road Edition powered by Polaris Razor right here at the Down and Dirty Radio Show. So we'll see you next week. Be safe.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.